verse 11, and it says, and he himself gave some. So these are the gifts and the graces that he's just spoken of that he gave out. He said, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the works of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measure of Christ's fullness. So we've been looking at these five gifts or graces that are given by Christ to the church for unity, yet it's within our diversity that we display the reality of who he is, and that in turn will bring maturity to the church. And these five graces are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, and teacher. And we've been working through each one of those, haven't we, over the last few weeks. If you've missed any, I'd encourage you to get online, listen to those as we've taken each one. And so we've set the ball rolling on what it looks like to be the church that Jesus invites us to be. So what's this week about? What are we going to do this week? We've looked at each one. Well, this week we want to get really practical about how we apply this into the life of OCC. And what does it look like for us to step into this as a church? That we get to be the church that God intended us to be. Because actually, I wonder if the church generally is being the church that Jesus intended for it to be. Romans 12, life verse for me, says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Those two words, the word transformation, the image is like a tree, and a tree that is bearing the fruit. It doesn't have to try at naturally out of the outworking of what is in that tree. The fruit is displayed. That the outworking of Jesus in the church, the transformation is what comes. Conformity, unlike fruit that comes from within the tree, conformity is like the baubles on a tree. They get put on. They're not part of that tree. They've been put on. So it's like society can put stuff onto the church, but Jesus wants to transform the church from within. And that's the invitation. And I've been in the church for nearly 41 years. In March, it'll be 41 years that I've been in the church. I don't remember the first few years, I'll be honest. I was young. And I've been leading in church for over 20 years. And what I see over those years is an increased challenge to be transformed inwardly and not conformed outwardly. That as the church, the danger is that we can try and appease society, or we can try and meet people's needs to such a degree that we put on society rather than be transformed from within. And the invitation is not to put on the baubles of culture, but allow the Spirit to transform us from the inside out. And I think one of the biggest enemies, and I think this is what Paul, and I spoke into this briefly in that first week that I brought this series, was Paul is challenging, I think, something that is a consistent battle for the church, a consistent challenge for the church, an idol for the church, no matter your age, no matter your culture, no matter your background. And one of the biggest challenges that we see is actually consumerism, that it is part of our society more than we can possibly imagine. And it can creep into the church. And Paul is battling that. And actually, it's been part of the human condition since Eden. If we look, God says, I've given you this whole paradise, but one tree. Don't eat it from the one tree. And yet, what does humanity do? I want what I want. When I want it, I'll eat the tree. Consumerism. I see a need. I want that need fulfilled. I'll get what I want. In a sense, we've created church to meet that need. And so we've created structures and we've created a culture of consumerism within the church. And so actually what church now is about is attending service. We attend a service. And church then is measured by if that service is good or not, my needs have been met. And so that's how we determine whether a church is good or not. And let me just say, I can feel the tension in the room. And these aren't easy things to speak into. And I speak to myself before anybody else. As somebody leading the church, am I building a church that meets my need? That's a danger as a church leader. That if I come and my ministry gets appreciated, people recognize me for what I bring, then I go away, I'm going, oh, that was a great Sunday. And it's the danger that we can see of the culture being put on. They sang my favorite song. Someone prayed for me. Someone recognized me and spoke to me. Someone did what I needed them to do. And the benchmark of whether a church is good is about our experience of how much we get. And yet Paul is saying, actually, the benchmark of maturity of the church is how much you give. And it's a challenge. It was a challenge to the church in Ephesus, and it's a challenge to us today. Because if I put a service on next week that said, invite anybody you want, next week, guaranteed double blessing. God will pour out a double blessing on everybody that's here next week. People will come. If I say next week we're going to be interceding on behalf of the nations, I wonder how many would be here. And if I'm being honest, am I here because I'm the church leader and have to be here? See, one feeds the bubbles of consumerism. The other one calls us to die. And that's the challenge of stepping into the church. So much of life is a call to die. But the reality is we really struggle dying. We really struggle with dying. When life doesn't go the way we want, when church isn't going the way we want, when we're not getting what we want, when our job isn't delivering us what we want, when family is hard work, when health crisis comes, all of these things are little deaths. They're little deaths that God works in and through to transform us to become more like the one who laid his life down for the sake of the church. But, and it is a big but. Oh, I had a song in my head then. We know that big butts don't lie. Can't believe I just said that in church. But the but in that is, Jesus died, but he rose again. And that's the invitation through the deaths, the little deaths, prepare us for the ultimate death where we get to glorify God in the point where we lay our life down, but there is a promised resurrection. And we get to be the church that display him to the world. And now we're called to pick up our cross and follow him. But it can be hard because I can quote all day long that I'm a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, that I am blessed with Jesus in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that the blessings go generation to generation. I can quote those scriptures. Well, what about I've been crucified with Christ? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And it's the challenge of these verses. That we need to die to the old self in order to become alive in the new self. Death always precedes a rising to newness of life. That is the way of Jesus. And the danger of the consumerist church is that we've removed that part of the story and we've emphasized the newness of life. And when we have to go through those deaths, we think God has deserted us. We think God is no more. We think God is against us. We think nothing's going the way we want it to. But the way of Jesus is the way through death in order to get to newness of life and resurrection of life. And I wonder what would happen if we started to allow God to transform us from the inside out. And that actually we see the invitation from Jesus is not just to come and consume, but actually to be a church that we see the gift and the grace that God has put on our life and we step in. And we say we get to be a part. Yes, when we gather as a church, but this isn't purely just about gathering as a church. This grace and gift doesn't stop the minute we walk out of that doorway. In our life, what does it start to look like that we continue being the church? I have this picture of like five fields. And if you're into agriculture, you'll know that for certain crops to prosper in a certain field, you put nutrients into the soil, don't you? And so you put the right nutrients in for that crop and that crop will start to flourish. And I see these five fields where the nutrients are put in for that one field of the apostolic to start to grow. And another field where the shepherd, the nutrients are put in that field and the shepherds start to rise and start to flourish in that culture. And there's these five fields. But the invitation is that we have to step out of the sixth field. That there's a sixth field, and we spoke into some of it this morning. There's a sixth field that so much of the church can sit in. And it's the field of consumerism for some. It's the field of rejection, of not feeling worthy. I can't step into that field. I who am I to step into that field of being an evangelist and using that gifting in my workplace? Whoa, who am I? But we have to step out of that sixth field. We have to step out of that sixth field of bitterness, whatever that sixth field looks like. And you might be a shepherd, and yeah, we want the shepherds in the church, but you might be a shepherd that stacks shelves. And actually, when you're on shift, people feel so loved, so accepted, so welcomed home because you're there. And the invitation is to come out of that sixth field and to step into the field that says we're going to equip and nurture the shepherds to be all that God has created you to be, to impact the world around us. When God calls you into his kingdom, he pours his grace over you. And you get to walk into one of those fields and live the life that God has placed on you and gifted you and graced you with. That's the invitation. It's a little bit like our royal family. How did Charles become king? How did he become the king of our country? He didn't go through an interview process. He wasn't voted in. It wasn't determined that, and this isn't a comment on him at all, I don't know him, but it wasn't determined that he was the best candidate. There was none of that process happened. There's only one way that someone is appointed in our nation to royalty, to be the king or queen of this nation, and it is that you are born into it. That's the way that you step into that role. There was a man called Nicodemus who came to Jesus, and he came to him at the dead of night because he was a respected religious leader, and he wanted to come and speak to this Jesus that was performing miracles and understand what was going on. And he asked him, how do I inherit the kingdom of God? How do I step in to all that promise? And Jesus said these words. He says, unless a person is born again, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus responds going, I don't understand. Does that mean you've got to go back into your mother's womb and be born again a second time? She's like, no, you don't understand. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do you know that the royalty that we carry, it comes as a gift of God's grace? Not because you've earned it. Not because you've passed the process, not because you've been determined as the best candidate and gone through the selection process and gone, you're worthy, you can have this. It's because we've come to Christ and we are born again. And the result of being born again is that you are granted the royal rights of the kingdom of heaven. You have an inheritance. And the invitation is to step out and to step in with all the giftings and the graces that he's put on you. And it's not because you've earned it. It's not because you've gone, I've become an expert in this area and now I can do it. It's the grace of God on our life. So if we go back in Ephesians 3 to verse 7, it says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. By God's, what? Grace. It's not because you've earned it. It's not because you've been voted in. It's not because someone has said, yep, you're the best candidate. It's by his grace. The goodness of God in your life is his grace. The faithfulness of God that you do not deserve, you do not earn, that you can, we can never, ever fully grasp. It is his grace. Our ability to step into anything in the kingdom of God is his grace. It's by his grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Paul sees the serving of God as a privilege. In all the different spaces and places we find ourselves. See, there will be many critics of the royal family that will talk about unfair privilege. Let me talk about the privilege of kingdom, of serving God in the kingdom. Paul says it's a privilege. We get to do it. We get to be part of it. And how? If we jump down to verse 20 to 21 of chapter 3, this is the chapter before Paul is going to practically say, this is how you do it as a church. But he says in verse 20, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. And usually we put the pause there. We go, oh, yes, God, you can do infinitely more through me. Brilliant. It's collectively to the church. So he says, glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever and amen. The purpose of God's people is to bring glory to God. That is why we exist as God's people. It's to demonstrate to the world just how great our God is. That we are called to be a sound system that doesn't amplify our own sound. But when Jesus takes the microphone, he is heard throughout the nations. That is the purpose of the church. That is how we serve him. And Paul will go on and say, when you do serve him, you serve him with all humility and grace. But it's to give him glory. It's not for us to get what we want. It's for him to get what he deserves. All the glory. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power. Where's the mighty power? It's here. This is God's mighty power at work. It's the church functioning as the church was designed to function. I've been in so many prayer meetings where we've prayed, God, come and show us and bring your glory. And I'm like, I'm all for that. But do we have a recognition that God's glory is already here in this moment as the church? Do we understand that the power of God's glory is already on display? That God has anointed us, he pours himself upon us, and the invitation is to come out of that sixth field, whatever it means for you, rejection, consumerism, unforgiveness, entitlement, whatever it is, and to pick up the responsibility that God has given us to display his power and majesty and glory to the nations. And it is a responsibility. We carry that. And we get to play, be the ones that carry the royal robes that he has put on us in order to display his glory. It says glory in the church. It means those graced with the apostolic start to rise up. Those with the prophetic ministry start to rise up. And the danger is when you start the list, you've got to do it all so you don't offend anybody. But the evangelist, the shepherd and the teacher, we rise up. If I ever say just one of them, just in your head go, all of the others. But you know you can be apostolic without being an apostle. Because it's for his glory, it doesn't mean we need a position. We don't need to be recognized. He came to serve and not be served and give his life as a ransom. The call and the way of Jesus is to die. And actually, we can be pastoral without being a pastor. We can be prophetic without being a prophet. You don't need the title of a prophet. Just start to prophesy. Just start to do that which God has naturally gifted you. We can be evangelistic without being an evangelist, but we do need to be humble. We need to be gentle because it's a grace that we have not earned and it is on our life. See, we can operate in the teaching gift without being a teacher. And so our goal is not to develop teams of people that say, no, I'm the teacher in OCC. No. Because that's about us getting recognition. That's about us getting the glory. We will recognize that in people and we want to release it and see it, but we want to see it in your life as well. We want to see it in the way that you live your life because Paul says, and I get into Ephesians 4, I hope you're buckled in for a long ride. No, we're not. It says, therefore I, prisoner of the for serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Live a life worthy of your calling. This is all of life. Romans 12. A living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Paul, you can hear Paul begging in this moment. Lead a life worthy of your calling. You have been called. That's what I've tried to emphasize this morning. Hopefully you're getting that. That you have been called, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. He has called you out. And actually the way of Jesus is a way of dying to self in order to see him glorified because he's the one that deserves all the glory. But you have been called. And this calling is from the Spirit of God. So let me tell you, this stepping into these five graces is not an OCC initiative. It's not a John's got to fill something on a Sunday morning, so let's think of a topic. This is a kingdom initiative. This is the way that the church was designed to function. Every single person stepping into the gifting and the grace in order to display the glory of God. And the invitation is that we live a life worthy of it. But church, we have to be patient with each other. We have to give each other grace. Because Paul will go on in verse 2 and he says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Oh, do we need a church that knows how to do this? Oh, too many people in this room have been wounded by church. Too many people sat outside of the church, no longer go into the church when it gathers because they've been wounded, because we don't practice this. Oh man, do we need to learn to be a church that can, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. If we do not master what it means to step into the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelist, the shepherd and the teacher, fine. Jesus, help me lead us into that, guide us. But if we don't master that, if we master how to be a people that know how to love each other, man, are we starting to get somewhere. We're not a perfect church. We can't be, because I'm the pastor. And with all politeness, we can't be because you're here. We're not a perfect church. We're a family that increasingly I want to see us loving each other and serving each other and the fruit of that coming out. We get a lot wrong. And there will be many reasons every time we gather for each of us to go away upset, annoyed, and frustrated. That invitation will be there every single time we gather. Because when you get an eclectic group of people like this together, that is the inevitable outcome. And it happened throughout the pages of scripture. You had Jew and Gentile coming and it was like clashing culturally. And they were like, we deserve this. No, you deserve that. No, we want this. But it's by our love for one another the world will know we're his disciples. So as we go into 2025, spoiler alert, I'm going to share some of this on the second week of January. The invitation for us as a church, it's not how many spaces are we going to fill, how many places can we go to. We've got a heart to reach people, because God has a heart to reach people. But the invitation is so much more about who we're becoming, not what we're doing. I wasn't going to speak into this, but let me just say, I think sometimes we've emphasized the Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, but we've compromised the great commandment, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And they don't need to be mutually exclusive. And actually, I wonder if what is the evidence of stepping into the Great Commission, of reaching all the spaces and places, the evidence, the litmus test of that actually is that we're growing in the great commandment, that we're growing in love for God and love for each other, love for our neighbor. So we're going to speak into some of that next year. Loving each other, making allowances for each other's faults, knowing that this is a space and a place to practice and to learn. And we're not all gifted majorly in each area, but we do have gifting in each of the areas. So it may be that you're like, I'm not a shepherd, but actually in this season, maybe God's like going, I want to increase your love for people around you. We get to grow in that. But maybe we're not very good at it right now. We give grace to each other to learn. You know, my first sermon in church was, it was bad. There was an audio of it, and I listened back a few years ago, and man, it was 90% incomprehensible and 10% heresy. And some would say not a lot's changed. But I was given space and a place to grow and be loved and nurtured. And I was not condemned in that. I was like, I'm listening back going, how on earth did any of my leaders ever let that come out of my mouth? But no one discouraged me. No one said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to take a bit of time out and we're going to have to really train you up and like make sure that the theology is correct. It was like, here's another opportunity. Because that's what family does. That's what a loving environment where we desire to see people equipped and grow and nurtured. That's some of the nutrients that go into the soil. So we might have some people that come and teach because this is a place where we can practice. And it's better to get it wrong in here than it is out in the world. So we need grace for each other. So yes, some of us are carrying wounds from what church has done to us. But there's an invitation in this season to go, do you know what? I'm not going to let that become a boundary to loving others again and to stepping in and serving in the kingdom of God. I was encouraged, loved, and given room to grow. And that's what this series is about, inviting us into a church to become. 1 Peter 4:10, and I am getting to the application bit now. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. There is an assumption in the church, in the pages of Scripture, that you will. Not that you get to, not that you might do, but that you will. And that is the church that we're called to be. So practically, what are some of the ways that we want to invite those? And I'm using the language deliberately because this is an invitation. And I am more aware than anything that the pressures on life in our workplaces are higher probably than they've ever been. And so for some, this feels like pressure in the church. But actually, my heart is, if you're pressured at work and that's where you're called to be, how do we equip you to be the person that God has graced you to be in that place? That we get to step into the story of God for the sake of wherever we find ourselves. And do we want to see that in the church as we gather? Absolutely we do. Do we want to be a community like that? Absolutely we do. But it's not restricted to that. And so what are some of the ways that we get to step into this? Let me just say this. Firstly, it's not all about me and my ideas. It's not me going, right, there's a way that we can nurture the shepherds in our church or the evangelists. We are a family. And so if you have ideas, if you think, oh, I'd love to try this, fantastic. We are a permission-giving church, which means sometimes the stuff that we step into ain't going to work. It's called creativity. I've got an art degree. My final piece was the display of so many mistakes. That's the reality of it. So it's not all from me. Secondly, this is not to do more, but to equip us to do what we're already doing, to be who God has called us to be. This is not everything. This is a first step. You might go away going, oh, I'm like the prophet, and there's nothing for me to step into, really. I just feel a little bit, Okay, it's the first step. We've not got it all sorted. These are invitations. These are not have to. This is get to. This is about equipping, empowering, encouraging us to be the church that God is inviting us to be. So I'm going to invite Mark, who is just going to share a little bit about the evangelism grace and how we're going to equip some people.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Is it morning still? Morning, everyone. So if I was to walk from here to here and declare with great confidence, I am an evangelist, what would you think? Answers on a postcard. Anybody want to be brave and bold? What would spring to your mind when somebody stands up and says, I am an evangelist? Share. It doesn't matter how offensive it is. Okay. Anybody want to offer a suggestion? Who are you? Yeah. Who are you? Okay. So that's first. Who are you? Anybody else? When you say the word evangelist, what comes to your mind? Standing on a soapbox. Indeed. I love that. Blimey neck, I better do that one. Da-da-da. Any other ideas? A lunatic speaking out of the mind anytime, any place. I love that. It's so true, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I'm clearly not. I'm not a lunatic, but, you know, just take that. Just take that. No, but it's true, isn't it? Let's have one more. Anybody got one more? Brilliant. Annoyingly or? Exactly. That's brilliant. It's funny, isn't it? When you mention the word evangelist and indeed evangelism, how many of you know that we all place onto that our perceptions? And that can either warm you towards it or cause you to run a million miles. So who, when they hear the word evangelism, goes, yes, come on, let's do this? Three of us, the two lunatics at the back. Yeah. Four lunatics in the room, you'd be pleased to know. Who thinks I am running a million miles away? Thanks, John, for your support. Okay. And who's just like, nah. Okay. All right. Okay. That's good. What we want to do is acknowledge that the evangelist is a grace. Mark Pugh, who's the Archbishop of Elim, he's had this lovely little thought, which I'd not thought about with regards to the Ephesians 4. John, if you've already got this insight clearly, but if you've heard this before, just nod as though you've never heard it before. But Mark was saying, like, that particular about when Jesus ascended, he gave the gifts. And what Mark said, which I really liked, just this last week, it's really got me thinking. It's like as Jesus ascended, he kind of broke himself up into five bits and put each bit into somebody. And because Jesus was all five, he was a teacher, he was a pastor, he was an evangelist, he was a prophet, he was an apostle. And I love that thought. And I think Jesus has broken himself up and given it as gifts to the church. And I think the timing is that as he ascended into heaven. So I love that concept. And so I am an evangelist. I hope I'm not a lunatic, okay? I hope I haven't got a soapbox or all of those kind of stereotypical things. But I do love telling people about Jesus. And I also love helping people to tell people about Jesus. And for those of you who've not seen me around much, it's because most Sundays I'm out and about preaching in the different Elim churches. But what I'm wanting to do, and I've offered this to John under his authority, and he, for some strange reason, he agreed to it. I think it's probably because it's one less thing for him to have to do, quite frankly. But it's to say to those of you who are in Oasis, if you feel that you've got the evangelistic grace, then let's meet up together and let's encourage each other. And I've got lots of ideas to get the wheels in motion. But it's organic, it's up for grabs. And even if all we do in the early stages is pray and support each other, and I feel really stirred about praying for people who don't know Jesus by name, like privately. So we'll do a little bit of that. And then because the grace is given that we might equip people, then we'll look at maybe how we can equip other people. So, because the danger is, well, they're the evangelism field, grace, so we don't have to do it. But that's not what it's about, is it? So put your hands up if you get really scared at the thought of sharing your faith. My hand's up, by the way, which is bad news because I do this for a living. Okay? So it is a scary thing sometimes. People often say to me, Mark, how do you start a conversation with somebody about God? And my answer is simple. I never start a conversation with somebody about God. I just start conversations. I set out to converse, not to convert. And I think if we can set out to converse, the conversations will flow. And so I think I was really grabbed by that scripture about the privilege again, because my prayer, almost daily prayer, is, Lord, help me tell people about Jesus because I get to, not because I've got to. Help me to pray because I get to, not because I've got to. Does that make sense? Let me read my Bible because I get to, not because I've got to. So I was really grabbed again. I'd not come across that verse, and it just reminded us, isn't it, that it's a privilege. I'm preaching here, so I'm going to stop. But basically, if you feel, or you would even like to explore, I guess, whether you might be an evangelist, and it doesn't mean that you won't have some of the other stuff in there as well, but maybe we can come together, and we're planning just three times a year, just so it's not onerous, because all of our schedules are pretty busy. I'd like it to be in person, because basically, I hate Zoom. I've had enough of Zoom. So we're going to try it in person. I've carved out some Sundays to be around a little bit more, to preach a bit through the year as well, because I really want to try and encourage us here in my home church. And I know I'm not around a lot, but this is my home church, and I want to try and encourage those of us who feel that. And I think I'll finish in a second, but I think what I'm quite looking forward to, and I was just reflecting on it this morning as I was listening. So I'm an evangelist. I'm quite pastoral for an evangelist. But actually, all evangelists should be pastoral. So I often challenge evangelists when they say, oh, I'm not very pastoral. I say, shame on you. Shame on you. You should be. And often it's like, oh, they're the evangelists because they're the lunatics. They're the ones that offend. And it's bad. So we want to smash some stereotypes. We want to smash some perceptions that people have. And I think we can do that as a group. But I'm rubbish at the prophetic stuff. But I want to move into that. So I'm looking for the prophetic group to equip me in the prophetic. Do you know what I mean? And like, I'm okay at teaching, but I'm up for the teaching group to equip me in the teaching. I've just done the APEST thing, and it's shown that, a few people had prophesied, but it showed that I'm actually quite high on the apostolic I would never have put myself in that role because of my perceptions of the apostle. So I'd always shied away from that. Does that make sense? And so, but now I'm looking, actually, no, I am. I'm training and releasing evangelists all over the UK. Well, that's part of what the apostle does, isn't it? So I'm looking, okay, I've got to learn a little bit. So I'm looking forward to those of you who are the apostles, probably some of you who are business people are apostles. I'm looking forward to you teaching me and encouraging me and helping me to move into that part of my grace, which I think has become a seasonal grace for me in this next season of my life. So yeah, so that's what we're going to do for the evangelist, but looking forward to everything else. Is that enough, John? Lovely. There you go.
Great stuff. So Mark is going to trial something for us called the Evangelism Collective. So three times a year, gathering in person, exploring, unpacking. Just as Mark was speaking, I just felt a little nudge just to say this about the privilege of serving. Maybe speaking to nobody, but I had to go through a journey where I've had to pray for God to remind me that it's a privilege to serve him. When you're doing portable church week in, week out, and let me just say this, I've done portable church since I was 14 years old. I'm fed up with it. Fed up with setting up everything each week. I honestly, I can feel it sometimes when I'm coming. It's like, I am tired of doing this. It's like 20, whatever the maths is. I'm over 40 and I've been doing it since I was 14. And I used to lug a drum kit down to my neighbours down the road, round the corner every week, pile it into the car. And some of you have journeyed that with this church. But that frustration led me to pray. And I just went, God, give me a privilege again that we get to set something up where we can encounter you. And it's coming back. There's a restoration of the privilege. So you know, let's be really honest. I could most times come here and just walk in and go, oh, not again. But God's working in me because I've recognized that. And I'm not going, there's a barrier. I've gone, God, just work on my heart because it is a privilege to serve you. So I want to encourage you, if some of you are listening and you're just going, oh, man, another thing, just let that be an invitation from the Spirit just to come back to him. Say, God, will you work in me? Let's not be filled with pride and going, that's the right attitude to have. Let's come with humility and go, God, we want to see the privilege of serving you. I just wanted to share that. So, evangelists, they're the storytellers of kingdom, the ones that carry the good news, that celebrate and stir curiosity. So we're going to create space for that. It might be that we end up with collectives in each of these areas where they're just spaces to come and dialogue and shape it. Because as Mark said, sometimes we come with a preconceived notion of this is what that is. And we just want to kind of go, well, let's be who we've been created to be and bring that into the story and go, maybe the evangelist looks like this more than what we think. Maybe it looks like who I already am more than I realize. So very, very quickly, let me just unpack some of this. The apostolic, they're the dream awakeners in the kingdom. They forge new paths for the kingdom of God and establish catalytic can change. It means sent ones. So we're thinking of those with a missional heart, those that go overseas, those that go into their neighborhoods. Think entrepreneurs breaking new ground in the areas of business, as Mark said. So what are we going to do with that? Well, actually, we're going to start next year for 11, stuff will come up on the screen. There's some little kind of adverts at the end of the thing, if that can come up. Whether it's online or in person, we'll just see who is interested in this. But we're going to do, for those that practically want to step into pioneering, so this isn't just a course to do. Back again. Forward again. I'll let you do it. Okay. PowerPoint's not. I'll send these out on the newsletter. That's bizarre. Anyway, pioneer training. So 11 months next year, we're going to gather with people that are practitioners, and we're going to gather and learn from them, glean from them. For those that practically want to see something pioneered, whether it's in a people or a place, in your workplace, in your street, whatever that looks like, if you're carrying that. Now, one thing I want to say is, and I want to stand up and just say this, for some of you, you're in the small groups have been shaped around pioneering. And some of you, that's felt like a real burden. And you've just gone like, I don't know where we go. I don't know what we do. Apologies if that's felt like a burden. Apologies if you being in a small group feels like the pressure is for us to multiply and you're not carrying that apostolic. We recognize that. And we lift that pressure. Some of you are going, oh, we're carrying the pioneering stuff and it's going too slow. We apologize. In our desire to kind of see everyone step into one thing, we have to acknowledge that actually, I'm not sure we've stepped into much. And so actually, my heart is that those that want to pioneer, be part of the pioneer training. You can be part of a small group, whatever that looks like. We're looking at those for next year. I'll come into that in a few minutes. But for those that want to see something happen, then you can, in the area or the people or the place, then that is an area you can do that. And we're going to get people that are practitioners to come and train, equip, release, and to help us step into those things. So that's the apostolic, the prophetic. They're the heart revealers of the kingdom. They're affecting, revealing God's heart wherever they go. They help people experience God's voice and develop hearing that voice in their own life. They challenge the status quo, call out injustice. That's a big thing. Call out injustice and call people back to the heart of God. So how are we going to do that? As the elders, we've felt that actually we need to come into a season where we pray for our church. And so what we're going to do, and I've spoken to a few of you. Oh, my prayer reminder is going off. I forgot to do that for a Sunday. I've spoken to some of you, and we were going to kind of do this as a small low-key thing, but actually as the elders, we've just felt, let's call the church and anybody who wants to, that once a month, and we will do it to Zoom just to try and help make it accessible to as many people as possible. We're going to come and we're going to pray on the third Monday of the month. We'll let you know when. And those with a prophetic voice, we want to create that space for people to speak into what they sense God is saying. For those without it, we want to invite you, like we've been saying, why don't you come into that space with a heart, just go, maybe I want to grow in that area. Maybe I want to hear what God is saying. Maybe I just want to gather with God's people as we pray, but it's specifically over our church. We feel a burden as the elders just to go into a season where we're praying for OCC. And that space is one that we want deliberately for the prophetic voice to rise up, to call us back into the heart of God, to call out the injustice, to say this is what we sense God is inviting us into. And so we as the elders really feel that's an important space for that to happen. So we'll let you know of that. The evangelists we've shared about with the Evangelism Collective, the shepherds, they're the soul healers in the kingdom of God. They're instrumental in guiding people through brokenness back to wholeness and healing, soul wounds, and creating a safe space for family and for belonging. In the world, think of those in HR, think of those in healthcare, where it's not just a job, but it's a real sense of calling. I mean, short of kind of going, let's form a pastoral team, which I'm not sensing God is actually saying in this season, what we want to look at is restructuring some of the way we do small groups. And so that doesn't mean that anything, if you love your small group and you want to keep it as that, that's fine. But I've met with each of the small groups and I've asked, what is it that you're sensing God's inviting you into? And some are saying, some will know this language of the up, in, out and down. But for some, it's that we want to be in. We want to just be loving each other and growing together. And that's fine. And so we're going to look, and it may look like a restructure for those people that are in different groups where it's been like, let's pioneer something. And we're actually going, no, actually, this group is there to support each other, encourage each other in order to go and be who God's calling you to be, because actually that's in the world, not for the sake of the church. It's all the same thing, but you know what I'm trying to say. So actually, the way we care for each other is something that we're going to really explore next year. And so if you've got that shepherding heart and willing to look at how we can bring people in and belonging and that sense of family, then please come speak to me. But small groups is one way that we can see that that can happen. It's not the only way, but it's one. And finally, teacher, and this I'm finishing with, the teachers are the light givers in the kingdom of God. They make the truth and knowledge about God accessible to all. They have an ability to break down confusion, not make it confusing, break down confusion and make God accessible. And so they're strategic in helping people see and know God's truth. And we want to resource people and give people opportunities to minister. Some of these areas, we're going to be really honest and say, actually, we need people to come and serve the church. As of next year, it doesn't look like we have enough people to make age-appropriate teaching brought to our children and young people. That's the reality of where we find ourselves. First time in the season that I've pastored this church where we won't be able to have children go out and encounter and understand the knowledge of God's love and the reality of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in an appropriate way that they can understand, because we just don't have the people to step in and do it. And so some of this is an invitation to just go, do you know what? There's a need. Let's step into it. And it's in the family of the church. But we acknowledge that teachers in other areas, in other spaces and places. So we want to equip the teachers. So if you've got ideas, let me just say, we probably won't implement them all straight away, because that'll be overwhelming. But we can sit and we can journey with them and we can see where God is inviting us in different areas. That's the season of family that we're in. But the priority is in all of this that we grow in the fruit of the Spirit. So I invite you just to stand. Thank you so much for listening. I want to invite you, if you sense one of those five giftings on your life, just to open your hands in front of you. That this is an offering of the grace that God has already given us. And this symbolic act of just opening our hands is an offering it back. And in that offering, we ask, Holy Spirit, will you open our eyes to perceive fresh possibilities in the ordinary things of life, in those spaces and places where we see that our gifting is your presence being brought. For this is a church, for us to be united, for us to display the majesty of who you are, and for us to grow into maturity. It's an offering of our gifts into your church that reveals your glory. For others, I want to invite you, maybe you don't sense one of those and you're like, I don't know, I don't know where I fit, I don't know what it looks like. Just open your hands as just a, God, I open myself to your leading and your guiding. That we just step back about making about ourselves and finding our place. But actually we just go, God, I'm open for what you want to do in the life of the church, if that's what it looks like, in my workplace, with my family, in my street. And I simply pray, Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that you have gifted and graced us to be the church that reveals your glory into the nations. And that you've appointed some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, some teachers. And we ask that your anointing and your guidance be upon each person here. Strengthen each person in OCC to serve you according to your will, to display your glory, but in the proportion that you've graced us to, that this isn't a pressure to be anything more than the grace that you've placed upon us. So we step into that grace in order to be your body here at OCC. So Lord, we pray for the apostles. Give them vision and courage to lead boldly and establish your kingdom. We lift up the prophets. Tune their ears to hear your voice clearly and to speak your truth with love, that they call us to a deep reality of abiding and resting and knowing your will. For the evangelists, God, we thank you for their passion and we pray for resilience. Fill them with a compassion for the lost and an unwavering commitment to the gospel. And we pray for the shepherds, that they may serve you with a heart of compassion and gentleness and care. Help them to nurture so no one in this church feels like they don't belong. God, for those that are posturing themselves to say, we're open for you to do what you want to do, God, start to lead and direct. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have gifted and graced us. And this is a season where we willingly step in. And may all of these graces work together in unity, building up the body of Christ until we reach maturity in the fullness of your love. And we pray that you'd empower us by your Holy Spirit, that as a church, we would be the amplifier to your voice into the nations. And we pray it for your glory. And the church together says, amen. Amen.